dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down?
It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show.
All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. First show for 2017. Thanks for joining us. I am Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Dr. McCarty, happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to all of our listeners and to you as well.
Hey, before we get into playoff football, I know a few weeks ago we had that conversation with the surgeon and my wife's knee. She's doing great. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm happy for her and glad that she's getting out and doing her thing.
Taking your advice, she's gotten on elliptical and really kind of ratcheted up a little bit, but with caution, and is just feeling really good. So, I can't thank you enough for that.
You're welcome. I give her my best, too.
I will. Hey, let's talk some playoff football. And let's not start with the Packers. Let's start, if we can, with a couple other teams, and then we'll get to the Packer game. You know, I looked at a few injuries that are I think, going to be some issues for some teams, especially some of the teams that people think have the best chance to win this thing. And the New England Patriots, a couple of guys, Malcolm Mitchell, who has come on, has had a knee problem, did not play their last game, but is now clear to play. They've got a full complement of receivers. They've got enough firepower, I think, to win the thing, as they always do. Wide receiver.
Sadly, that is true.
I know. You get a little tired of it, don't you? Just a little bit. Danny Amendola, who is fourth in the depth chart, he's missed the past four games with an ankle injury. They hope that he might be cleared back for the playoffs. I know a little bit about ankle injuries with this basketball team I'm coaching, and if he's missed four games, probably a fairly severe ankle injury.
Yeah, he would have had a bad ankle sprain, basically. And so he's coming back, and I'm sure he'll be ready. You know, remember, they get another week.
Right.
So they're in the position that you want to be in, and they earned it. I mean, they earned it by winning the most games. I'm sure they watched a lot of tape on other teams' practices. I mean, I couldn't help myself.
No, you could not.
Look, that's an incredible franchise and great team, great talent. So, but they also get another week while the rest of the teams are playing, so they'll have that advantage as well.
You know, the Houston Texans, that nobody really expects them to go real deep in the playoffs, but they held out quite a few players Sunday's loss to the Titans due to injuries. And I think the biggest on there's a couple that are fairly big on that list. Lamar Miller, his ankle. Clowney, who is a defensive end, elbow and wrist. And then Brian Cushing, his back. Those are the three that jump out to me. When you think about an elbow and a wrist for a defensive end, if you're held out one game, depending on the severity, it's not just one injury, but it's two.
Yeah, I mean, these are always difficult to judge at this time of the year. You know, every time we talk to, and we're going to be speaking with Packer Hall of Famer John Anderson here in a little bit. So anyone listening, you definitely want to stay tuned for that. He's going to talk to us later about what it's like to be playing in the NFL this time of the year, what it's like to be playing outdoors at Lambeau Field, and give us some real insight into that. But everyone that we speak to, whether it's Leroy or whomever, they're all telling us that they're all hurt at this time of the year.
All of them.
And so, you know, what held them out? Well, they had a meaningless game. That's what held them out. So as long as they're not out for the game, they'll be ready to go.
Hey,
they all play for this.
Yeah, this is what they play for.
Yep.
This is what they, you know, as kids, you dream about in the backyard and you're in the Super Bowl and all of that. Ryan Tannehill from the Miami Dolphins. This one kind of surprised me a little bit. They are going to leave the door open. He's not playing this week. He sprained his ACL and MCL in his left knee. Did not practice Wednesday. I see that he's officially out for this week. But if they win, they think that there's a chance he's going to be able to play next week.
Well, this happened once before with quarterbacks in San Diego, where there was an injury to the ACL, and he decided to play anyway. And so Philip Rivers went out with a torn ACL and played in that game because it's the playoffs, and he figured they would limit their mobility, and he limped around, and he was lucky. He didn't wreck his knee any further in that game. Now, We all know what happened to RG3.
Right.
Now, he did this, too. Same thing, had an injury, had the world expert on the sideline, and the guy's limping around. And I remember watching him thinking that, you know, it looked like he was a target. You know, I mean, he was so disabled. I couldn't believe they left him out there. And of course, you know, he's really never returned. So it is very difficult. This is a judgment call. I suspect if they make it to the next round, it's probably because Moore played pretty well. He's a pretty good player.
He is a good player.
And I would be surprised if you see Tannehill out there.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, it's all depending. Remember, we always talk about how you get the report and it sounds like it's X. It's one thing. But in reality, these are diverse issues. They're heterogeneous. How loose is it? How disabled is he? How unstable is that knee? The surgeon, the trainers can assess that and make a recommendation as to whether it's okay to risk a franchise quarterback by putting him out there or whether that's a really bad idea.
And, you know, we've had this discussion before, but I'm wondering who makes that final decision?
Well, typically the team physician makes the final decision, honestly. It's usually the orthopedic surgeon for the team that makes the final call. The trainers certainly have a lot of input into that. Typically, the coaches do not have a lot of input into this. They obviously want the player back, but a lot of them don't really pay that much attention specifically to that because they know that's not their thing. Like, if they know if the player can play and it's safe, they'll let him play and then they'll want him in. But otherwise, they don't want him in.
And if it gets to that point and the player says, you know what, I don't feel like I'm ready.
They won't play him.
They won't play him then.
No way. Now, if the player says he's not ready to go, they're not playing in almost any circumstance.
Right.
Because you can't go out there with a sense of, you know, the inability to function and protect yourself and everything else. What's typically the case is you have the player saying, oh, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And you check the knee and the knee is totally unstable and you're saying you cannot play. So the contract, if you will, that I have with all of my athletes, and I have a lot of them at every level, is if you can play safely, I will let you play. But if it's not safe for you to go, I will not let you play. And that's sort of the way that we work that. So then everybody's on the same page. Everybody's heading in the same direction. Remember, athletes out there, our goal is to let you do what you want to do. But in order to do that safely, you have to trust us to give you the right advice. So if you're on the fence, you're not sure how to get there, that's when you come to see one of us, one of the sports medicine orthopedic surgeons or sports medicine specialists to get that information.
Hey, let's, if we can, talk about the Packer game that's going to be tomorrow. And we're going to talk more about that throughout the show because of the weather and some of the things that I think people have to understand if they're going to the game,
yep,
or if they're participating in some of these players, what they can, you know, what they can do to help play a little bit better in this kind of weather. A couple of injuries that I want to talk about if we can. For the Giants, Jason Pierre-Paul, core muscle, did not participate, and I think he's out.
Yeah, that's really a shame.
Yeah, I hate seeing the tears.
I hate seeing one of those pass rushers for the Giants not play against the Packers. That's a joke, obviously. We have had so much trouble with their front four over the years, and to have him out is bad for him, but very good for Packer fans.
Yeah, I agree. There's a couple other injuries, but not many to note for them. However, on the Packer side,
yeah. It's
a long list.
Sure is. Has been all year.
It has been. James Starks did not participate this week because of the concussion. Julius Peppers, not injury-related, probably more age-related, yeah. I would think. Joe Thomas back and Quentin Rollins, yet another cornerback out with a neck and concussion. That was a really scary-looking injury.
That was a very scary injury. It reminded you a little bit of Shields' injury that took him out for the year. Yeah, I mean, look, the Packers are in trouble with this, aren't they? I mean, they have a secondary that's been pretty poor most of the year, except for if they're lucky, they get takeaways. That's what we got to hope from Eli. Eli does throw a few balls up there.
That you can go get.
And they need to get them. They can't have him hit Clay and not catch him, you know, and I'm not banging on him, but
right. They
need those turnovers because they have a lot of great receivers. They have a very experienced quarterback, and we have a secondary that's running on fumes. So our best guys aren't out there, and the guys that are out there aren't at 100%. So you saw Randall last week. I mean, he can't run.
No, he can't
run. So he's out there. He's playing, and I give him credit for that. And he's got great hands, so hopefully he'll be able to get a pass. But, boy, he was 5 yards off a lot of those guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Odell Beckham, hopefully he had a good time in Miami.
Yeah, you know, well, that's you know, partying with the Biebs before the playoffs is one of those things that everybody should do on
just
the other
like
team.
Just like a dream come true for me. I couldn't believe when I saw that.
Yeah, well.
I thought, you know, if you're going to go, of all the people to party with, I guess.
Justin Bieber.
He would not be one of the top 10,000, I guess, in my.
Maybe he'll get a random screening.
Must be nice to shoot down to Miami on your day off, you know, and just.
Don't you do that?
Yeah,
Dr.
Yeah,
Brian and I do that a lot.
Oh, no, we're down there all the time.
All the time.
Once a week, right?
By our skin? How tan we are.
South Beach.
Yeah, you guys have a nice little glow today.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
We have 8 to 10 bottles of Coppertone Sports Spray with us.
Exactly.
It's all good.
Well, you only need one. I need three. I need more than you do. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk about playing in the cold. Some concerns that that we can discuss and the proper equipment to play at your best and also watching the game. You know, going up there, making sure as a fan that you take care of your business so you don't get sick and don't get so cold that you got to leave at halftime. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Brian McCarty. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Brian. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. I'm Mike McGuirin alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. It is a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
When you're
day.
Sitting in this warm studio, the sky is blue.
Hey, man, it's 68 degrees.
Yeah.
Inside.
Inside. You still have your coat on, your hat on.
Hey, I'm representing, you know.
Yeah, yes, you are. Hey, we want to talk a little bit about playing in this cold. I can tell you that when I was 24, 25, I think I could handle this. At this age, there's no way. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, the whole thing we wanted to talk about is what happens in cold. It occurred to me this morning as we were preparing this program that we hadn't ever really discussed cold weather activities and what happens in the cold with athletes. And it's actually kind of an interesting and important topic. So it's not just germane to athletes like cross-country skiers or runners. It's also hunters and, you know, people out hiking or snowshoeing. And then, of course, fans and all of that sitting in the bleachers can learn from this as well. The Packers, you know, the players who are out there not only running around, they're on a little bit of heated turf, but, I mean, it's pretty cold. And that's why we're having our Packer Hall of Famer, John Anderson, come in and tell us what that's really like. So he'll be in next segment, so make sure you stay tuned for that as well. But basically what I wanted to talk to you about, Mike, is what happens when you go out in the cold? What's different? So first, we need to understand what cold is, right? So chilly, weather that does affect your body is kind of under 40 degrees, makes a difference. Now, obviously, if you're golfing or you're sitting around, it can be, you know, even warmer than that that can affect you. But when you get under the minus four down there, you get into this frigid condition.
Right.
And then you have a lot of physiological changes that occur. So what happens? Well, your body, regardless of how tough you are, reacts the same way. It constricts blood from your extremities, and it shunts all that to your midsection to protect your vital organs, which for some of us includes our brain. But for people like me, having a warm hat on is very important to protect that part. But for everybody, that's actually kind of critical. But the key is you want to avoid having too much of that occur. And so one of the ways you can do that is by having appropriately constructed layers. And you hear this all the time, you know, wear layers. But what it means is you wear a thin layer that wicks moisture away from your skin at the base of your whatever it is that you're putting together, depending on the weather. That keeps moisture away from your skin, which is important because water will conduct your heat away from your body 25 times faster than air. So moisture is your enemy in the cold. So you want to avoid, especially as a fan or somebody who's out hiking, you want to avoid sweating if you can, because when you stop moving, that water is going to start wicking that moisture, that heat away from you really rapidly, and that can lower your body temperature. Why does that matter? Because all your biochemistry works in this very narrow window, and our body works to keep us around 37 degrees centigrade or 98.6, right? Ideally. And so the whole thing is trying to regulate you to that temperature. So the idea is help your body to help you, right?
Right.
If your core temperature drops, your function decreases. Your muscles don't work well. Your nerves don't work well. You get low enough, your brain doesn't work well, and you make bad decisions. So the idea is you want a tight layer close to your body to wick the moisture, then a windproof layer, and then you put additional insulation from there.
And you had, in some of the emails going back and forth, you wrote there's an old adage in survival, if you sweat, you die.
That's right. Yeah, if you're in a survival situation, you really want to avoid sweating. So you keep your exertional level below that level to avoid this moisture that we're talking about.
And I would think in that situation, the first thing you're thinking about is trying to get as warm as possible.
Yep, you want to be as warm as you can without breaking that sweat.
Breaking
you know, that
sweat.
Early feeling. Now, it's a little different when you're playing in a football game, right? You know, that's different. But when you're in this situation, like if you're a fan, you don't want to get super bundled up and start sweating in the car and then go out there. That's how you typically really freeze. You want to keep your layers low while you're in the car, and then just before you go, then you want to layer everything up and then go, okay?
Yeah.
Just try to stay dry if you can.
You know, I don't think, and look, I've been to enough games, I don't think people understand that. I think people think, look, I'm going to crank the heat up, get as warm, almost hot, before I go out, because that'll kind of offset some of the cold. And what you're saying is that is not a good idea.
Well, it's not a good idea if you're sweating. If you're not sweating, it's fine. I mean, you can get warm. I'm not telling you to freeze before you go out there. But the problem is, as a fan, you're sitting, right? You're sitting in one place, and it gets really bitter. I mean, if you're just sitting in one place. Now, so the key is kind of stay dry and then have wind protection. So the wind does the same thing as the water does. It wicks the heat away from you very rapidly. So if you can have something to block the wind, that'll help you to maintain that layer of warm air around your skin, and that decreases heat loss and makes you feel better. Do not forget hat protection, head protection. You lose a lot of heat through your head. There's a lot of blood vessels in your scalp. You want to make sure you stay warm there. A lot of people say, you know, in Antarctica, for example, you know, if your feet are cold, put a hat on. The reason for that is exactly this. If you keep your core temperature warmer, your body will shunt more blood to your extremities, and your extremities will be warmer, your hands and feet. If you get cold in the core, you're going to get cold everywhere, and the first thing to go is your hands and feet.
Hey, the other part that you had talked about during the break that I think is really important, because I think people don't ever think this, but hydration.
Yeah.
When you're cold, you're not thinking about drinking all this water, and they're missing the point.
Yeah, that's a huge issue. And I mean, look, I'm a person too, and I'm out in the cold. I don't really think too much about drinking fluids, you know, because you don't think you're sweating and you're not losing all this fluid. But the fact is, because your body is shunting your fluids into the core of your body, you tend to lose more fluid by urinating and everything else, because it compresses all that fluid into your body. So you have to keep hydrating even when it's cold. The other thing people don't realize is that the air is very, very dry. So you lose a ton of fluid through your breath in the cold, way more than you would when it's warm, when there's more water vapor in the atmosphere. So these are sort of simple, subtle things that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily think about, which is why I thought it would be an interesting topic for today.
One of the other things, and we discussed it a little bit, but heart issues when the cold weather increases, there's a stress in your heart due to the blood shunting to vital organs. And it's interesting when it gets really cold and then we get some snow, you hear a lot about guys that are out shoveling.
You got it.
Snow blowing, things like that. Need to be very careful.
Yeah, I mean, this is how, you know, you don't think of shoveling as an athletic activity, but it sort of is. If you do it, if you do it a lot, it's a pretty hard work, and a lot of people aren't used to that. So, yeah, if you're going to start these outdoor activities, which I would encourage people to do, it's actually quite fun to be out in the winter if you're prepared for it. But then if you have any of these issues, you should just get checked out before you get started. Other things that we talked about, asthma, exercise-induced asthma. People get wheezing in the cold. That's because the airways spasm. It's called bronchospasm, and you get wheezing. And that can easily be treated with an inhaler or something to dilate those air vessels. I've had that on occasion myself, especially years ago when I used to do a lot of exercise in the cold. I used to run all winter. You could get some of that occasionally, and that's easily treated. And then, of course, you want to avoid the frostbite, frost nip. Again, what is that?
Thank you for that, because I think people use that word a lot. Oh,
yeah.
I got so cold. I think I got a little frostbite. Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, frost nip is what most people are really talking about. It's kind of an odd term that I think has been brought up because it's not the time where you lose tissue to actual freezing. Actual frost bite is when the tissues freeze and you get ice crystals in the cells and the cells die. And that's how, you know, like you hear about people from Everest who got, you know, lost fingers or toes or whatever. That's from frostbite, where they really got that all the way. The other is when you start seeing changes in the skin, and oftentimes other people see it. Like you get a white patch in the skin if you're ever gotten real cold. You see somebody with that, make sure they get that covered up right away, and then that'll recover very quickly. But you don't want to get to the point where you've had actual frostbite.
Well, it's interesting because as a kid, you know, you go sledding for it. As long as you can take it,
yeah.
And then there's we had a 5-block walk. And so you got to the point that you couldn't feel your feet and couldn't feel your hands, and then you walked home.
Sure.
Instead of doing it 10 minutes earlier, so when you just got home is when you had those feelings.
Yeah, but that was uphill both ways, Mike.
It was, and a lot of snow, and we didn't really have boots back then. So, hey, let's get to a break. We're going to talk with John Anderson, Packer Hall of Famer John Anderson, about what it's like playing at Lambeau in the cold, this time of year, in the playoffs, and I look forward to that. I'm a big fan of John's.
He's the best, and I was really, really grateful to him for agreeing to come on and talk to us today. There's nothing like getting the perspective of somebody who's actually been out there on the field in these conditions, and I'm excited to hear from him.
That's excellent. On the other side of the break, this is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Just very cool when you have to find out who it is. Talking Heads brought to you by Dr. Brian McCarty. I'm the one who's not very cool.
Well, we are Talking Heads, Mike.
We are Talking Heads. Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Dr. Brian McCarty. Go to mymosh.com for more information. We're talking a lot about what it's like to play in this kind of weather and the things that you should do to make sure that you're playing at your best, even though it's, you know, going to be 4 or 5 below with the wind chill. And I love the fact that that Packer Hall of Famer John Anderson is joining us to tell us a little bit about what it's like to play in this kind of weather. Hey, John, Happy New Year. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You know, for us to talk about it, and Dr. McCarty is as smart as they come on what, how to prepare yourself to play in this kind of weather, but to talk to you, somebody who's actually played in this kind of weather, did you just hate playing when it was below zero?
Basically, yes. I'm not going to pretend that I love this stuff. You know, there's a lot of guys that would, you know, even today, they come out, you know, pregame and they got their T-shirt on and they got their sleeves rolled up and they're doing the man thing. And that was not me. I'll tell you what, I was just the opposite. I wanted to be as warm as possible so that I wasn't spending energy on the field or on the sideline thinking about how do I stay warm, as opposed to, you know, what's their tendency coming up and those kinds of things. So I was not a fan of the cold, but obviously growing up here and playing 12 years up in Green Bay, you learned to deal with it. And a lot of people would always ask, you know, do you guys have an advantage? And quite frankly, I don't really think we did. I think we have as many players from the South or the West Coast who didn't care for the cold as most visiting teams. But I think the one advantage players in Green Bay have is they know how to dress for it because they've had more chances to practice, you know, and to know, do I wear 2 layers underneath or 1? Dr. McCarty, I wish you had been up there about 30 years ago because I was enjoying your comments about, you know, the last thing you want to do is start sweating underneath.
Yeah,
especially when you're out there, because now you come off to the sideline and you might be sitting on the bench for 15 years while the offense, in my case, was on the field. Well, that's long enough, you know, to start really getting chilly if you've got some sweat underneath your layers. So that was, I thought, the biggest advantage a player in Green Bay had. You knew what kind of gloves, and there's a million different kind of gloves out there. What were the best ones so that you could still feel the ball or grab, you know, a player if you're trying to tackle them? without, you know, having ski mittens on and losing all sort of feel too. So that was the advantage I thought players in Green Bay had.
Yeah, John, I have to tell you that I didn't want to speak for you, but the physiology of playing in the cold and being in the cold would suggest that you were using your brain much better than the guys who roll up their sleeves. And I think it's really interesting because exactly what you said is exactly what the physiology would predict. When you're not wearing an appropriate clothing, you're really more concerned and spending a lot of energy just trying to maintain your body temperature instead of focusing on what their schemes are. So I think you were ahead of your time there.
Well, I think the other thing is, I mean, these guys playing on Sunday, right now, they know it's going to be cold. I mean, you can't fake it. You can't pretend it. So basically what you have to do is you have to commit yourself to 4 hours of this is going to be uncomfortable. Whether I'm sleeveless or whether I've got layers on, it's not going to be ideal football conditions. And so part of that is just getting over that mental hump and saying, you know what, I'm going to accept the conditions. And I'm just going to put that in the rear view and not worry about it as much as you possibly can. I mean, it's an ever-present situation out there. But you kind of got to get in that mental framework or it can defeat you. I mean, you can go out there and just, boy, it's cold and I'm freezing. And, you know, and all of a sudden you start on that kind of poor mental attitude and you're sort of defeated before you even get out there.
We're talking to Packer Hall of Famer John Anderson. John, was it easier to play and get yourself prepared to play in this kind of weather when you're 23, 24 years old rather than, you know, Julius Peppers is, what, 35 or so? Yeah. And I'm wondering if age had any difference in the way you played in this kind of weather.
No, I don't think age really impacted. I will say, though, and Doctor, you might tell me I'm crazy, you might back this up, is I did notice after a game out in the elements like this, that afterwards I was, you know, you have that post game high a little bit, but then I tell you what, I was extremely, extremely fatigued. And part of me wondered if that was because you're not only running around, but your body is spending so much energy just trying to stay warm.
Yeah. You know,
and the combination of those things kind of just really made you tired after a ball game like that.
Yeah, John, I think you're right. I think you're fighting both the battle and the elements. But there's also physiology to explain that. And that is, you use more fast twitch muscle fiber in cold weather than you do slow twitch muscle fiber. And so you get more lactic acid buildup and you tend to be more sore afterwards. That's actually, you know, it's interesting that you noticed that, you know, because I was reading about that when I was preparing for this show, that people do tend to have a little bit more lactic acid buildup after performance in really cold weather.
Yeah. One story for you guys. You know, the Packers played, the Chicago, what, 2 weeks ago, and it was really cold down there. And they were doing the all-time coldest games in Soldier Field. And I played in one back in 1983. It was 3 degrees and 15 below. And it was a day just like today, the bright blue sky, right? And I remember this is back in the old Soldier Field. And, of course, they hardly had any heat for us as a visiting team, so you're cold already before you even get out on the field. And it was towards the end of the season, and we were just layered up. You know, we had everything possible on. And when I came out of the stadium, you came out on the north end, and you ran down the sideline because our warm-up end zone was on the south side. And as I'm running down the field, I'm thinking, hey, this isn't so bad. You know, the sun's out. I've got all these layers on. And then I turned – and we were, of course, on the old AstroTurf, which is like asphalt, seriously. We turned, and then we faced north to kind of get into our lines to stretch. And when I turned and faced north, this northerly wind hit me right in the eyes, and I started to tear up. I had my mouth guard partially out of my mouth. And during that time that I turned and faced north, and when it hit, my mouth guard went from nice, soft rubber into a frozen piece of material.
That's awesome. That
the last thing I wanted to do is put that in my mouth. And then, of course, like I said, this AstroTurf, there was absolutely no give. I mean, whatever cushion was underneath there, that had gotten all hard. So that was the kind of condition back then. And I believe we were even wearing our, excuse me, our good old mesh jerseys.
Oh, that's great.
Tampa in September, right? But, I mean, just the way that the game has come. What we used to do back then, before they had all these crazy materials that they do now, is, and nobody can repeat this, right? But the way we would keep warm is we'd take Vaseline and kind of put it on our toes to try and protect the heat or keep the heat within our feet. And then we would actually wear ladies' nylons, okay? That was the latest and greatest idea. Well, let me tell you what, that is not a good look when you got 50 guys walking around in ladies' nylons.
Man,
that is
fantastic.
A little bit. It didn't help us that game because the Bears got us.
Can you imagine being the equipment manager?
We did way back when.
The equipment manager had to go out and get fine sizes, man.
Yeah.
Hey, John.
Yeah,
is
I'd like to be that clerk when he brings all those up.
Check out. John, is there a chance we can hold you over for one more segment?
Sure.
That'd be awesome. We're talking to Packer.
So good, John.
Packer Hall of Famer John Anderson. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Satisfaction brought to you by Dr. Brian McCarty. Man, I love the story John Anderson was telling us.
Yeah, I'm gonna give John some credit here with this whole nylons thing, because if you think
you
about
didn't
it,
hear me say that
I did. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, we were live,
and we're talking about how we can pull that segment
by the way,
play it elsewhere,
right? The thing is that the fabrics that you're talking about were the tight conforming layer that we were just discussing. I mean, it wasn't as good as what Gore-Tex is. It's not as good as, you know, what we have now. But the same idea was that you were trying to create something that was close to your skin that would keep moisture off of you. And that's really, you know, it's kind of the best thing you had at the time. So, you know, fortunately now we got a little better stuff than that.
And it probably looks a whole lot better. So good on both sides, yeah.
Hey, John, one of the things we had talked about was how important hydration is. And when you get that cold, not many people are thinking about making sure they're drinking enough fluids. Was that a problem for you guys back then?
No, I don't recall that. I do think you were sweating less, so there was just a natural inclination to drink less. They had what they used to call bouillon, which is just beef stock. You know, they'd get hot water and mix a little bouillon cube. I don't even know what that stuff's made of. But so there was a little hot water flavor to it, which, you know, you could use that. But, you know, they also had Gatorade and all that kind of stuff there, too. It's really hard to drink Gatorade, even though you know you should, and the coaches want you to, when it's 5 degrees out, your body just says, this doesn't make any sense, you know? So you do have to kind of force yourself into doing that. But I don't recall anybody really with having any dehydration issues when it got really cold.
Yeah, the bouillon is actually a really good idea. That's just electrolytes. You know, it's just basically, you know, it's like a stock for a soup. And it's a really good drink when you're out in the cold, because you get the electrolyte replenishment, but you also get the fluid with it. So that was a good move on their part.
Hey, John,
you did something right, huh?
He did a lot of things right.
A lot of things.
You know, things change. I was laughing with my boys yesterday when we were talking about this, about how 30 years from now, you know, everything will seem stupid that we're doing today, probably. You know, but because I know Johnny McLaughlin was on with us once telling us how they ate a steak an hour before the game because they were told to do that. You know, they thought I was funny. But, you know, I'm sure 30 years from now we'll think that, you know, what we're doing now isn't quite as sophisticated as we think it is today. So,
if you had the opportunity back then to play a game down in Miami where it's, you know, 110 on the field, or the one that you played at Soldier Field, what was your preference?
I would take the cold. My body did not react well with the heat, and on a few occasions we would play Tampa early in the year or in Miami, and I remember a lot of us were getting IVs, you know, at halftime.
Wow.
And even after the game, And I did it. I was particularly susceptible to that. I don't know why that's the case. Maybe I wasn't hydrating enough before the game or whatever. But that stuff gets kind of serious, I think, quicker than the cold does. And you just you know, you're drenched. You know, you'd change your whole complete uniform just about, you know, at halftime, because your pads were and your jersey was just completely drenched in sweat. And it was slippery, but it was just uncomfortable to be in that. So, if I had to choose, and you're not giving me a very good choice, I would take cold.
Yeah, I have to say, there's only so much you can take off, right? But you can always put on more,
right?
So,
exactly.
I wanted to ask you this, John. I don't know if you were part of this or not, but were you part of the game when Tampa came up in the snow and they were all huddled around the heaters at the end and freezing to death and not looking like they wanted to be there at all? Were you in that game?
I was.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
I remember it very clearly. We got a ton of snow like after midnight, because usually they would be able to kind of clear the field and all that stuff. And what had happened, if I recall, if this is the right game, I might be off, but I think this is the right game, is that was right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And the field manager usually has all his crew come in and being able to shovel off. Well, all the guys went deer hunting, because that was over the Thanksgiving kind of time where deer hunting was. And so he didn't have enough guys to work. And so there was a boatload of snow on the field. Tampa came up, of course. They didn't know what was going on. I believe Steve Young was the quarterback, if my memory serves me correct. And Alfonso Carriker, if you remember that name, our defensive end, I think he sacked Steve, I think, four times. and Steve was, he's one of the fastest guys you'd ever have back there. But in that snow, you just couldn't navigate like normal. And Alfonso Carriker, as a result of his, I think, three or four sacks, was the NFC Defensive Player of the Year, or Player of the Week, because he had such a great game. And I do think in that case, you know, Tampa kind of came up and they had the deer in the headlights look, because they had just never experienced, many of those guys had never experienced that degree of snow. They may have been cold once or twice, but the snow was a whole nother component. And there were only, I think, again, I'm going off of some ancient databases here, but I think there were only about 23,000 people that came. But I remember looking up in the stands, and these people had made toboggan runs down the aisle. So if the game got a little dull, all you had to do is just take the toboggan run, and they were having a good old time.
Gary Ellerson, I think, was talking about that game, and on the air, he said, "I'm not kidding, some guys got on the back of snowmobiles from their hotel to get to Lambeau Field because they couldn't get there any other way." And
yeah, I mean, it was scary. When I drove to the game, okay, or, you know, from the stadium, from the hotel to the field, which was probably, 8:30 in the morning, something like that, the place was like a ghost town. And usually it's just packed, right? But the snow was still coming down. People from a distance, I'm sure, had decided we're not going to this game. And even the locals had said, well, we're not going to tailgate in this stuff. Let's just stay home and we'll go to the game. So when a normally a drive is rather difficult to get through all that congestion, there was nobody around just because of the heavy snow.
Well, John, we certainly appreciate your time. Boy, what great insight, great stories. We only have about a little less than a minute left. How do you like the Packers' chances this weekend?
I like them. I think, New York is going to try and keep it a low-scoring game. They have not scored over 30 points this year, and what they do is they want to run the ball, take the clock off the game, and, use their defense. So I think Green Bay, with as well as Aaron's playing, and by the way, you guys have probably talked about this, everybody's talked about this, but I'm going to take it to one other level. I think we are witnessing a stretch of genius that most people will never be able to experience watching professional football. And we see it day after or week after week. And so it kind of becomes not a big deal to us. But truly, when you step back and look at the things that he's done and how he's done them and the way he's performed, it's really been a stretch that is kind of one for the ages.
Yes.
And let's give credit to the whole team. You guys talked earlier in the segment about the injuries. this team has gone through a serious gut check, and they have come through despite all the injuries. Guys are out there playing hurt, playing, you know, in less than ideal situations, but they've managed to get this thing turned around. And, you know, now you got this one game at a time thing, and who knows what can happen when you get into that situation.
He is Green Bay Packer Hall of Famer John Anderson. John, thank you so much. Happy New Year to you and your family.
It's great to be with you guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks, John.
Dr. Brian, that was unbelievable. Yeah, thank you for setting that up.
It's my pleasure. I tell you, it's all thanks to John Anderson for coming on and helping us see what they see on the field.
You bet. Thanks for listening. And again, go to mymosh.com. Dr. Brian McCarty, he's the best of the business. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.